Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport in partnership with the ECB. Today, bringing you a discussion which first aired during one of the lunch breaks throughout the three test match series that we brought to you on TalkSport 2 between West Indies and England. The start of it really came from a tweet from Jared Kimber asking the question, if you could make one change to test cricket, what would it be? Got a phenomenal response on social media, so we thought we'd open it up as a conversation within the lunch break. So, without further ado, let's bring you that discussion that took place between Neil Manthorpe, Gareth Batty, the interim head coach at Surrey, and, of course, Jared Kimber. The question was, again, what changes would you make to test cricket? And remember, you can get in touch with the show by tweeting us at @cricket_TS. But without further ado, let's bring you today's Following On.
We are going to be, I think, treading on potentially very controversial ground. We are not in the business of advocating necessarily any of the changes that we are going to be talking about, potential changes to test cricket.
Changes.
Well, some of them have come from your followers on Twitter and listeners on TalkSport, because for the last 24 hours we've put the question out there. Apologies if you're listening and you didn't see that and you didn't get to put in your suggestion. I'm going to kick things off by talking about the length of the game. On with the rider that, let's remember, very, very few of the things that we're going to be talking about have been set in stone. You know, the game has changed and evolved for 140 years since Test cricket was first played, albeit backdated, because we didn't know we were playing Test cricket 140 years ago. I'm going to start with the length of the game, because, you know, it's interesting that traditionalists say, oh, well, no, it's 5 days, that's it, it's non-negotiable. Well, Test cricket has been played over 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and timelessly, famously. And it would make a massive amount of sense financially if the game was played, Test cricket was played over 4 days. Then you would be able to have a three-match series, for example, in 3 weeks. Quite simple. You would start on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, move on Monday, and yeah, put more overs in the... So that, interestingly, Jared Kimber and Gareth Batty, is a change which is supported by the majority of test-playing nations, because the poorer nations, from Sri Lanka to South Africa to Pakistan and Zimbabwe, obviously, and they would be very happy to play 4 day test matches. And South Africa were at the forefront of the last ICC meeting of advocating that as a change. They also said that it should be up to the host nation whether they choose to play over 4 days or 5 days. So nobody's saying the Ashes. Or India, England, or India, Australia should be played over 4 days. But the majority of nations who need to try and fit in their bilateral series in and around the franchise, IPL, they say, let's play over 4 days and leave it up to us. I'll throw that to you, first of all, Jared.
Yeah, my original tweet was, essentially, how would you redesign it if you were designing it from scratch today? I love 5 day tests. Honestly, I love timeless tests, but I don't think it actually is going to fit into the modern world. What would work far better for test cricket is if every test match was played over the weekend, was played at night. Obviously, there's a few other changes that have to make that perfect. And as you said, Thursday to Sunday makes a lot of sense. So I was more looking at it from that perspective of there are a lot of things, and you and I know this, we've both written books about the history of cricket manners. There's a lot of things that happen in cricket largely by accident that still exist today because the game is so old. So one of the oldest ones is the substitutes in cricket. We don't have substitutes. One of the reasons we don't have substitutes is cricket was already a professional game in England for about 70 years before any sport actually started using substitutes. So we never brought them in. So we still have a situation now where the opposition's fast bowler gets injured in the first over and you're down a player and you can't bring someone off the bench. So as far as the 4 days goes, I can understand 100% why boards would want to do this. And I think from a marketing, sales, calendar perspective, it would make sense. The reason they haven't done it really is because they're afraid that the fans will be very upset because we have come accustomed to 5 day tests, even though we've had a 4 day test of recent times against England. There was a 6 day test in the world. Was it Australia versus the world 11? Was that a 6 day test? And when was the last 6 day test in normal cricket? Was it early 80s, late 70s? So the 5 days is a fairly modern invention anyway. And most tests don't make it to 5 days regardless. So if you fitted extra overs into the 4 days, you could then have that sort of golf thing where everything would finish on a Sunday night. But, of course, cricket never finishes on time or when you want it to anyway.
Television production companies would love it. Gareth, what do you think about... Nobody, as I said, nobody's saying that the Ashes, for example, should be played over 4 days. But what do you think about the host board having the right or the option to say, actually, we're going to play this series as 4 day test matches?
I get the financial arguments. I get the understanding of fans coming in, etc. But the reason Test cricket has its name a Test, it's because it is the only game that goes 5 days. I assume that you're both going to say, well, there's no other game that goes 4 days. But I think the 5 days is a big thing to take somebody 5 days and break them down physically, mentally, test of skill. I think we need to expand on that to make it more exciting. Have the ability to play the 5 days. Don't withdraw that. But somehow dress it up that it's probably going to be 4 days and we accept that it's four, but have the option to totally dismantle somebody in five is more where I'm going with it from a purist of the game. I feel like that is its greatest challenge.
I'll say one thing. We're really only talking about the difference between 400 overs and 450 because any four-day plan would probably be 100 over day at that stage as well. So it isn't as big a change as maybe other people would say.
Let's say 100 Ireland overs dilutes the quality.
Ireland or Afghanistan, with respect, or Zimbabwe. I don't even know if they still play test cricket. But they have test status. Let's say they came. England said, let's play two test matches against Afghanistan. Because, you know, for the exposure, we haven't played them in a test cricket. You wouldn't advocate playing two tests over 5 days, would you? Surely.
Yeah, out of respect for Afghanistan. I'm inviting them over to play test cricket. I'm not going to say, well, you're not good enough to play 5 days. That's disrespectful. You're starting on the wrong footing. For me, I'm saying everybody is equal. It's 5 days. We need to get some kind of a deal because I'm very forward-thinking modern world. I get the 4 days, the people coming through the gates and all this sort of a thing, but can we still have five on the back burner and never charge anybody five, which we don't anyway? I don't know. I've not thought about it enough to understand, but I don't want to take that fifth day away if it's required. We know more often than not it isn't.
Okay, well, let's move on then to injury substitutes. As Jared said, you know, it wasn't until over 70 years ago that football had any substitutes. You know, and
it was before. It was 1860s that football got them in, but not all sports got them in. Rugby union's only quite recent to that. Football was the first one, but it was cricket had been professional for 7 years before football came about.
It was about two. Andrew McKenna will be able to give me the exact month in which rugby substitutions, but I remember they were only, you used to have a doctor on the sideline who had to positively identify that a player was injured before a substitute was allowed on. And that was probably 20 years ago, Macca. Yeah. So what about that? What about injury replacements, up to whatever, three, four, in a test match?
I take it a step further. It's not even injury replacement. You name 13, sir, there's always two sat on the bench. and you can have rolling subs at any point. That's your team. You're now a,
you mean
now
you could bring him on and then sub him off again?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think you
but
can have
got
injury.
Eight in the you've got eight.
So it's a 13-man
options.
13-man game, yeah. But 11 bat.
Yeah, so put 6 or 8. Yeah, you're only 11 on the field at any one time, but you can. It's almost like rolling subs, but you're limited to 6 subs during the 5 days.
Are you just putting that out there, or are you advocating it?
I think it's a great idea. You've got straight away. You have your duty of care with fast bowlers that they're never going to bowl as many overs as they've always been prescribed. So they're going to bowl less, they're going to bowl faster. You've already got a spectacle for the kid on the boundary who never actually sees the ball until it hits the keeper's gloves. Wow. Straight away, everybody loves a fast bowler. You can rotate them on and off, so you've got duty of care there. You'll also get batters then who are pushing to be better fielders, etc., etc. You're not going to... You go away from the sort of genuine all-rounders, but... You go away
different
from that
pieces.
Hole. You've got a batter who can't really ball spin. It burns me every time I see it. He's not really a spinner, but we pick him because he bowls a bit. It's nonsense. It burns me. I hate it. So have your genuine spinner there. You get spinners into the game. You can bring them in and out of the game. And I'd go a step further. Allow anybody that bowls 57 miles per hour or less, they can have as many degrees as they want.
So they can throw it?
You can throw it.
Only if you're slow.
You can throw it slowly.
Slow throws.
It's got to be 57 miles an hour or less.
What speed did you bowl?
I want to bowl 57 miles an hour. I can't even imagine 57 miles an hour.
But well, Craig Brathwaite.
I would imagine it's...
Bowled a delivery at that speed yesterday.
Majority of very average spinners are bowl between 52 and 53, 54.
I'm with... I'm not on that one. But I'm with bats on the substitutions because... Especially in certain formats of the game, I want to see the best against the best. I don't want to see your fifth bowler bowling just because we came up with an arbitrary one-day rule. And even in Test cricket, I think it's the same. Also, if we're going to have substitutions, it can't be injury substitutions because every fast bowler is injured at all times. I could find a reason right now why any fast bowler out on that field should not be bowling. We could get a substitution. If it's going to be there's no, as far as I'm aware, since rugby changed its laws or rules. Laws, awesome. Got that one right.
Was this Bloodgate we're talking about?
No. So since rugby changed their rules, I don't think there's been a sport that has allowed substitutions purely for injury. Every other sport has substitutions because they have a bench built into them. And I think if cricket's going to go down that path, that's a little bit different. I know concussion substitutes are a little bit different in cricket as well. But I think I've got no problem with going down that particular path for cricket. I think, honestly, I know we're talking about Test cricket here, but I think for T20 cricket, having a squad of 15 players and having 5 good bowlers and 10 good batters is a far better contest to watch than the current system we have.
Just for those who aren't aware of this, Bats, your enthusiasm for substitutions actually may have come about in the last couple of years with your with following second 11 cricket championship, second 11 cricket, because a lot of listeners won't know that is actually been happening for a couple of years.
Well, it happened first time last year. And it's a bit of a head-scratching situation initially. You start off with, let's say, 7 pro players, a couple of academy lads, and then a couple of possibly trialists. At the end of day 2, the first team squad is being selected, and you lose 3 players overnight. And this was both teams. And the first time, you kind of go, hang on a minute, I started with 7 bowlers. Now I've got 3 bowlers, and I've not got an opening batter. I've not got this, I've not got that. And it's a bit head-scratchy. All of a sudden, the penny drops. Wow, what a brilliant opportunity to get another young player in. So you've already had 2 days of assessing the surface. If it spins, get yourself a spinner in, if you can possibly get him there. If it's as flat as your hat, it might be an opportunity to get your young batter in and actually get some lads who bowl a bit faster than he's ever faced in a good environment because the surface is good. Might be something in between where you get a pitch that does a bit and you've got a young fellow you've seen as a 16-year-old that might just have some English condition skill about him that you can get him in all of a sudden. Just a way of accelerating the growth of players within a protected environment works. What we're talking about now is actually going, get 13, so that we're protecting the skill sets of the game because you can have a genuine spinner that doesn't need to bat, doesn't need to field particularly, but is a very good spinner. Everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see the best of the best. This way, you are... how many times have... And this is people, hopefully, listening in the cars or wherever. You're playing on a Saturday and you go, oh, I wish I had one more fielder. This is kind of taking it a step further. I wish I had one more option on this surface to bowl or another option to bat.
I've just had an email from Hugh Turbeville, the editor of the Cricketer magazine, which I shall read. He's. I can just see from two bullet points here, he's mentioned overrates and pitches. I probably don't need to read the message. I think we probably know what Hugh's going to be anxious about there. But I just wanted to go... So we're talking about two different things. If you were if you were designing the game from scratch, Test cricket, the game of Test cricket from scratch, then you would make some very, very fundamental changes. You probably wouldn't even have turf pitches, but you would certainly have an AstroTurf outfield. I think that having an artificial pitch would so fundamentally alter the game. I mean, natural deterioration of an organic surface is crucial, fundamental to everything about Test cricket. But
they already have them at Surrey. What are you talking about? His club's got artificial wickets. But you guys had them first, didn't
but
you?
But you're not going to... We're talking about Test cricket. We're talking about Test cricket.
We don't play games on them.
No, but exactly. So how about... How many times have we seen Test cricket delayed because of a wet outfield?
Yeah.
But if we had an AstroTurf outfield and just a drop-in pitch like they have in Australia, that would make a huge amount of sense.
All the international grounds in England, if not barring maybe one or two county grounds, have this thing called ring drains, which is a drain around the square which takes all the moisture away when it rains. So in theory, unless you have a massive deluge, which even on synthetic I don't think you're getting back on, but there will be some kind
puddles.
Of drama, I'm sure, yeah. You get back on pretty quickly now. But, and this is where every groundsman in the country ears prick up, I'm going to make a massive statement. The pitches are getting worse because of that ring drain. They are now getting flatter, more boring as the game goes, as opposed to deteriorating and accelerating the game, which is all... We all want to go see three and four. Odd one bounces over somebody's head, next one grubs, then it spins. We want to see all these facets of the game. Take ring drains out, stick synthetic in, I'm with you, Manus.
I take it a step further. We probably wouldn't use a leather ball if we were redesigning cricket from today, would we?
Well, you better explain that.
I don't think with the...
Uses leather. They're made of leather, aren't they?
Yeah, they still are. They still are. Although, to be honest, they've been looking at changing as well. Most of the other sports have changed, I think, away from leather balls. We're one of the few that have kept it. So I think when you're talking about those sort of synthetic ideas, I could understand that. Now, I don't think there is another thing that is... Well, we certainly haven't trialed anything that is any way going to replicate what a ball does, which is the degrading, the way it degrades. But if you were redesigning from today, you'd probably be looking at roofs, right? You'd be looking at synthetic outfields, and you'd probably be looking at something that wasn't leather when it comes to cricket balls, would be my guess. But, I don't know exactly what those, what that would be with the ball, if there's any other thing that's out there. But, in the future, Jason Gillespie's already talked about this as a vegan, hasn't he? He doesn't like the idea of us keeping leather balls.
Yeah, and carnivores laugh at that. But, it's just, it is, there's...
you do owe me a burger. Gareth, have we mentioned
Gareth,
that?
Gareth is laughing at that. No, leave out the veganism and the vegetarianism. The carnivorous, but
they go out of shape.
As long as you are still able to maintain the condition of the ball to suit what you want it to do, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
There has to be deterioration, one, in the surface over the period of time from start to finish. There has to be deterioration of the ball up until you take the new one at the 80 overs. You have to keep the obvious... beauty of the game, I think that is. That there's a real skill to bowl with an old ball. How many guys can you say on one hand bowl brilliantly with an old ball? And the obvious ones spring to mind. There ain't many because it's a wonderful skill. We need to see more of that. Is it possible to manipulate that with a different kind of a synthetic-y ball? If that makes our beautiful game better, then cool, go with it.
How about, Gareth, and seriously, you have to think about this because you might not have considered it, but how about... Each team at the beginning of an innings is given two balls, and that's it. At the beginning of the innings, and you can use them at any time. You don't have to give one up after a certain number of overs. You just get two balls, and you can use the first one whenever you want to, and you can keep the second, or you can use new balls at both ends if you think that's going to suit you, or you can have one that is going to be you're going to try and work on for reverse swing and. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're saying first innings here, Joe Root wins the toss.
There's no new ball after 80 overs. You just get two new ones at the beginning. You can use them whenever you like.
Interesting concept. But if you're playing in England, you just two new balls. The game's done in 40 overs.
I think you just did Gareth Batty out of a job. I can imagine in a lot of places, England, South Africa, New Zealand, we're not going to get too many spinners. I actually like the general concept because think about it strategically, right? You come to
I'm
a pitch.
I'm a coach, my friend.
You come to it. Well, now you are, yeah. You come to it from a strategic point of view of like, okay, we'll use the first new ball for 30 overs. We've got them four down. Do we go to the second new ball here? But I do think it would ruin spinners. A lot of people from this tweet suggested new balls at 40, 45, 50, 55 overs. The Invincibles beat England in 1948 with a new ball every 55 overs, and they are absolutely destroyed with a lot of seam bowling.
This is my point with the spinners. Allow finger spinners. I mean, I went to the bad extreme of saying you can throw it. I didn't mean that. But rather than 15 degrees, let's go to 30 degrees. I tell you now, if you run up and try and bung it, unless you're a kid, it is very, very difficult to do. And yet you go to Sri Lanka, you go to India, there are guys that you get net bowlers who are probably better than most international players playing now, but they're not allowed because it's fractionally illegal. I promise you, it will be one heck of a spectacle. And it is incredibly difficult to gain those skill sets, which then we're negating the whole ball situation because all of a sudden we know that batters have got better, pitches have got better, there are better techniques for facing spin over and above. But you get a brilliant one, we always rip the batters to shreds. You don't need to rig the pitch, just allow them a little bit extra leeway.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What about allowing within limitations, and you can specify what those limitations are, changing the condition of the ball. Okay, so allowing ball tampering, but using only natural substances,
The ICC have been doing this for 40 years. I mean, they've been allowing ball tampering for 40 years.
Okay,
stamped it out years ago.
But do you know what I mean? Right, she's just saying, okay, look, you can... Well, they said you can't use saliva now, which is fair enough, I think. That's a bacteria issue. So you can use perspiration, but you can... So you can use your thumbnail. You can scratch the seam. You can scratch the quarter seam, encourage reverse swing and...
Yeah, I understand.
Just legalise it.
I think that we'll get a lot of players with incredibly long fingernails, and also I think we'll get a lot of dull cricket because sometimes when they tamper with the ball, they'll ruin the condition of the ball and it won't do anything from that point forward. So I think that's a dangerous thing. Also, I think the fingernail thing is a legitimate question with that. But the ICC has turned an eye on this. I mean, Faf du Plessis was given a similar penalty for having the wrong colour shoelaces as he was for tampering with the ball. They've essentially allowed a tampering with the ball at test match level more often than not. They've made it hard, and that you don't let you do it in the open, but essentially people are doing what they want with balls.
Well, the problem with those sanctions is that they're very often reputation-based. You know, I don't think the captain of the Afghanistan team would have got the similarly light sanction if he'd been caught tampering with the ball.
So we started the whole conversation talking about bringing more finance in and making it a better spectacle. After 25 overs, at any point then, up until new ball, you've got a 10-minute window. The captain goes up to the umpire. They start the clock. It goes off with a buzzer. You can do whatever you want for 10 minutes with the ball. Buzzer goes off, then stick to the rules again. But you get a 10-minute window to try and alter, do whatever you feel like is going to be most appropriate. The crowd know it. There's a big clock in the corner going doof, 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 boo, right now back to normal. Be amazing.
I like that.
We need more countdowns.
That's sexy. All right, we've got 30 seconds now. Really, 30 seconds each on the toss. Should we still have this coin toss, or should the visiting team get to do the toss? Should it alternate? How should it work?
I think the visiting team should be able to do what they want to do. It will stop surfaces being rigged for home advantage.
I think that's the most logical one. There was a guy who wrote on cricket for a couple of statisticians from America who wrote about having an auction at the toss where both teams could actually, you know, bid for it and give runs to the opposition in order to get the toss, which is also quite interesting.
How does that work?
So you put in a... I've got to read the full article because I haven't read it in a little while, but you can essentially say, well, we think that winning the toss is worth 40 runs, so we're going to say 40 runs, and the opposition go, well, we think it's worth 50 runs, and they get it, and so they gift 50 runs to the opposition when they start, and they decide to bat or bowl whatever they believe.
I'm going to have to apply my mind to that one.
It's like it's like spread betting, sporting index back in the day, isn't it? You put a spread on somebody's average and you buy them or sell them.
Well, that's it for another edition of Following On. Thanks for listening. And if you ever have any ideas for guests or have questions for the likes of Steve Harmison or Neil Manthorpe, feel free to tweet me at Fulham John or via at cricket_TS, and either I or one of the team will make sure that your questions are read out on the show at the earliest convenience. Also, please take the time to leave a review, and if you're already a subscriber, then tell your mates to do the same. And if you want more content from the likes of Steve Harmison, then head over to his YouTube channel and tell him I sent you. Thanks for listening to Following On.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.